Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. For many people, TV Christmas movies are an essential part of the holiday season. This year, Lifetime will air 30 new Christmas films, and among them will be the network's first ever holiday film centered on an LGBTQ+ lead storyline. The Christmas setup stars married couple Ben Lewis and Blake Lee, and follows Hugo, played by Lewis, as he goes home to Milwaukee for the holidays. His mom, Kate, hopes to play matchmaker, and is played by none other than Fran Drescher. While home, Hugo reunites with his high school friend and past crush, Patrick, played by Lee, to explore the possibility of igniting a new romance. To get more insight into this momentous depiction of gay romance, Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski spoke with the stars of the film. Ben Lewis and Blake Lee star in Lifetime's The Christmas Setup, the network's first film centered on a gay romance, which is also set in Milwaukee. The film premieres on December 12th, and Lewis and Lee spoke with Audrey Nowakowski.
Ben Lewis and Blake Lee, welcome to Lake Effect. It's a pleasure to speak with you today.
Thank you for having us.
Speaking with you.
So you both are starring in Lifetime's The Christmas Setup, and this is Lifetime's first movie centered around a gay romance. So what did that mean for the two of you?
Well, for me, it meant the opportunity to work with Blake for the first time, which was really exciting. I mean, we've been together for 10 years and never had this opportunity before, never expected to, you know, be given this opportunity. So it was very exciting. Also, you know, obviously, like everybody, we were in the middle of COVID, and I think the walls of our house were starting to close in at that point. And so just to be able to get out of the house and get back to work.
And we felt very lucky to be able to go. And we also, we shot the movie in Canada. So it was a really nice escape because there were so few cases there. So, I mean, everyone still took all the, you know, there were so many precautions that had to be taken, but it was so much safer. There was such a sense of relief to be like, oh my God, we have this time to kind of just focus on the work. Mm-hmm.
Also, my family is in Canada. They're in Toronto, and we actually we shot the movie in Ottawa, but we got to quarantine for 2 weeks up at my family's cabin in Muskoka, which is like cottage country there. So that was it was pretty nice. Lovely.
But we also felt so much of it being the first LGBTQ+ storyline as like a leading storyline in a Lifetime film. We felt really lucky and privileged to be the people that were asked to do it. I think the weight of that has hit us more now as we're promoting the film. When we got the job offer, it was more like exciting that we got the offer. And then it was definitely something we did talk about, though. I remember us being like, the fact that it is the first makes us want to do it even more because it is this moment. And to be a part of that, we felt very special. But it's definitely hitting us more now.
Did you both have to audition for it, or was this a project that was offered to you?
No, that was the crazy thing. It's like, it literally came out of the blue. Like, I think we had both read the sort of press release that had come out a couple months earlier when Lifetime announced that they were going to make their first gay Christmas movie. But we didn't really think much of it because, first of all, at that point, we had no idea that they might be looking for a real couple to be in it. And even if they were, you know, we know a lot of gay actor couples. So it definitely wasn't something that we just, assumed or imagined would come to us.
And had you both, I mean, you're both actors and that's how you work. And obviously the pandemic has so greatly affected that. So before this came in, did you kind of accept and write off that, well, for the rest of the year, who knows if it'll work?
For sure. Yeah, we definitely had, I think we were more optimistic and hopeful in the beginning. You know, we're like, this is going to pass soon. And then I think it started around the time that this came in. It was like, okay, like we bought new outdoor furniture for our house because we were like, we gotta expand the walls of this house somehow because they were starting to close in. So we were spending more time in our backyard. And, you know, we were kind of going, let's just do things that we enjoy. Let's garden. Ben writes a lot. He was writing, I was writing a bit. And we were just trying to find things that we enjoyed so that we could stay sane. And we definitely had gone, you know, this is probably, it's looking like we're not gonna go back to work this year. So it was, yeah.
So then to actually, you know, get the call to do it. And then before we, you know it, we're in Canada, celebrating Christmas in September, work, you know, acting alongside each other. And, you know, Fran Drescher is playing my mother. I was like, what did I do? What did I do to deserve this?
So you mentioned that this was your first time working together. Was that something that made you both nervous, or did you surprise each other at all through the process of filming this?
I was nervous just because, you know, I think when you're working opposite a co-star who you're just meeting, there's a certain level of, you know, just professionalism, mm-hmm. That it's hard to maintain with your partner. You know what I mean? It's just like,
you're so comfortable when you're so intimate,
yeah. You know, if we get on each other's nerves, we know it in like an instant, you know?
you're not afraid to show it, you know? It's like, the emotions are like on your sleeve, you know? We can just tell when the other person's mad.
But when you're in front of an entire crew, you should be able to sort of like, exactly, keep a lid on it. So, you know, I think I was a little bit nervous about that just because it was so unknown. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the good thing is, being together for 10 years, we've really honed our communication skills. And so if a conflict does arise, we can work through it very quickly before it gets, you know, ugly in front of an entire entire crew.
Yes, which it never did.
Yeah, which it never did.
But I think also we felt that was part of the conversation was, is it going to be good for us? And I think we both were like, I think getting out of this house period is good for us. Mm-hmm. And then it was instantly such a good experience. We felt, I think after shooting our first or second scene, we looked at each other and we were just like, this is so fun. We can't believe we get to do this for 3 more weeks. And it was this, and then I think from then on, the nerves of it being, you know, is this a bad thing or a good thing for our relationship went away. And it was just, it was such a positive.
And beyond the chemistry that Blake and I have with each other, I mean, we were very lucky that our old friend, Ellen Wong, signed on to play my best friend in the movie. You know, she was actually there the night that Blake and I met, mm-hmm. 10 years ago. And the actor who plays my brother, Chad Connell, I've known him for even longer than that. I've known Pat, the director, I've been wanting to work with him for like 6 years. The only person who we didn't know was Fran. But I think, you know, for anybody who grew up watching The Nanny, which I think is most women and gay men, you feel like you know her. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I think a lot of people of our generation feel like they grew up with her, and she is just like everything you want her to be and more. So mm-hmm. like, we were immediately so comfortable with her, and just like the chemistry, I think, between all of us was so easy, and it was like such a pleasure.
Well, and especially with COVID really driving home the small cast and crew, you're only using as many cast members as you need possible. And you mentioned, of course, working with Fran, and you know, now she's an honorary Milwaukee mom and of course a bit of a gay icon. So was it just, you touched upon it a little bit, but were there any moments where it's just like, this is happening, Fran is my mom?
Well, it's so funny because, you know, I think when we first read the script, we didn't know that they wanted Fran at that point. But admittedly, Fran is not the first person you think of when you think of like a Christmas-loving Milwaukee mom. Yeah. and then when we found out that that they wanted her, I remember thinking like, there's no way she's going to do it, because she and I actually have we actually share the same birthday. So Fran has been sort of my celebrity birthday twin, you know, everybody has one, for my whole life. And I knew that we were gonna be celebrating, we were gonna be celebrating our birthdays like right in the middle of filming. And the idea of like, again, this is like, I'm talking about me like in August in the middle of a heat wave in LA in a pandemic, you know? I was like, the idea that a month from now I could be celebrating my birthday on set of a movie that I'm starring in with Fran Drescher is like, it's too good to be true. Mm-hmm. It's never gonna happen. And then she agreed to do it. And we were so excited. But it's funny because I remember right before we did the first table read of the movie, which we did over Zoom, I didn't know, like, when she said her first line, if like a Milwaukee accent was going to come out of Fran's mouth, or if she was just going to give you classic Fran, which I am like happy and relieved to say that she gives you the full Fran Drescher experience in this movie that you know and love.
I remember in that table read, it was so funny because we're all on Zoom, so everyone has, you know, you just have the little windows of everyone. A lot of us were staying in this apartment building in Ottawa that she was in as well. And we hadn't met her yet in person. And I remember, like, she comes onto the Zoom and she's in like a glamorous bathrobe, you know, and she's just lit beautifully. And I'm like, is she in the same building as us? Like, she looks so good.
Yeah.
And I just remember like 30 minutes into the read through, it was her line and she wasn't saying her line. And
we could see she's not looking at the screen.
But so everyone looks like this and she's kind of just staring off. And someone was like, oh, Fran, after like a few seconds, like, Fran, it's your line. And she went, oh, sorry. I'm just admiring these flowers that I bought myself. They're gorgeous. I wish you guys could see them. Like in the middle of a table read with, you know, the studio executive and the network. It was so funny. And it was just like, she's just so in her world, and it's this wonderful place to be. It's in Fran's world.
Most definitely. And, you know, she gives us full force Fran, you know, throughout the whole movie. And, you know, Lifetime and Hallmark Christmas movies, they're really a genre of their own, and they have a big following. There's so many produced a year. Did you both have any impressions of these movies before you got involved in this project? Blake, we'll start with you.
Sure. Both Ben and I, we have to admit, we didn't watch these movies regularly. You know, Christmas is a huge thing for us in our home, and we often go and spend it with Ben's family in Canada. And there's holiday movies in the background, you know, but we weren't people that sat down and watched Lifetime movies regularly. But we did. I think that, I mean, you'd have to be from another planet if you didn't know that it was like an institution, that these films that mean so much to so many people, and that it's this annual tradition that families look forward to. So we were aware of that, but we ourselves weren't fans of the, you know, genre ourselves, but I mean, we are now.
I'm Canadian. And they shoot a lot of these movies up there. Mm-hmm. I think most of these movies up there, whether they're set in Milwaukee or wherever. And so almost all the Canadian actors I know, all of my peers have done one of these movies at one point or another. And so I think for me, quite naively, I think when this offer came, I was just like, oh, well, now it's my turn. Like, I'm going to do one of these movies. Because it is sort of just like a rite of passage for Canadian actors. I never really thought, you know, I think, again, like naively, I wasn't really thinking of the cultural sort of impact or significance of this film. I was just sort of excited to be working. The fact that we're like here and talking to all of you guys and that people are so excited about this movie is not something I anticipated, mm-hmm. but like is really, you know, we feel really lucky to be part of this.
Well, and Milwaukeeans and people in the Midwest in general feel pretty excited that, you know, it's a mention in here. And of course, this was filmed in Canada, but do either of you have your own Milwaukee connections or impressions, or have you been to Milwaukee that was a part of this?
When I was in high school, my best friend grew up in the Quad Cities. And so I went to go visit her a lot. And I remember she had family in Milwaukee that we went to go visit one summer, and I just remember being really, really beautiful. Big lake, really cool. I remember this like this downtown area that was really beautiful with like these like really old movie or theaters, but now I guess they're movie theaters. It was so like the architecture I was blown away by. But one of the things that was really helpful is that Michael Murray, who wrote this film, he's from Chicago originally, and he grew up going to Milwaukee all the time. And he was saying to us that in recent years, going back as an adult, he's found this, he's just been like, it is so progressive. And there's this, it's this community that is artistic and, you know, architecture, like, you know, he was saying he was going on a Frank Lloyd Wright architectural scout that he was on. And so he just was blown away by this movement of young people that had come back to this city. And so in the movie, my character, Patrick, has made some money in Silicon Valley. He's done well for himself, and he feels the need to come back to his hometown in Milwaukee and help continue the forward moving motion that the city is going in. And especially because it's personal to his character in a tech way and also in an LGBTQ way. So he opens this incubator for young startups, and you know, our characters talk a lot about the queer movement there and how, you know, in this town there's a queer youth center and there's a drag community, and it's all of these things that Michael Murray, one, was saying that he saw in Milwaukee, but also things that he was hopeful to see, you know, in the future, in near future. So he was quite descriptive, and it was very helpful, I think, during the process.
Well, and post-COVID, you'll have to come and see us.
We absolutely will.
Now, with 2020, you know, a lot has happened this year, but it's also bringing a lot more LGBTQ representation to holiday films. You know, Hulu just released their Produce One Happiest Season. Netflix has one out. You know, it's gaining momentum, as you said, and it's great. But the thing that's also really nice about the Christmas setup is that we simply have a gay romance without any conflict or trauma surrounding the holidays. It's just a nice story you can immerse yourself into, you know, the kind of things that Lifetime is known for.
Yeah.
How did you both feel about being able to just be a part of that simplicity and not fall into like some of those tropes that is, you know, kind of overutilized sometimes?
Right. You know, like, you know, like we were sort of saying, because we weren't super familiar with the genre, I think that a lot of my instincts sort of were to sort of see where I could like infuse it with a little bit more angst or a little bit more edge. But our producer, Danielle Von Zernick, who's made so many of these movies, referred to herself as the Lifetime police. So if ever we were sort of like getting off message or like the tone wasn't quite right, she would always make sure to sort of like steer it back. But at the same time, I think it was like an incredibly collaborative experience. Like, they were very open to our ideas and our sort of like, you know, what we sort of wanted to see from the characters and the story and what we wanted to bring to the characters. So although it does sort of follow the traditional sort of like mold and structure of these traditional Lifetime holiday movies, I really do think that it has like a fresh energy and of its own. Mm-hmm. So I think I hope that it's the best of both worlds, that the traditional Lifetime audiences will really enjoy it and embrace it, and that hopefully it'll attract some new viewers to Lifetime as well.
We were also recently saying that like the fact that Lifetime did stay in that structure of their films is a statement in itself. You know, it's love is love. This is a love story between two men. That's the only difference about our film, mm-hmm. is that the two people that fall in love are two men. Like, it, other than that, it's the same as their, you know, their past Christmas films. And I think that that's really cool and very special. And I think that, like I said, it is a statement that I think was purposefully done. And I appreciate that, because like all of the stories you were saying that have, you know, trauma in them, gay and, you know, LGBTQ stories, which are very real and need to be told, it's very nice to have a film where you can just escape into an accepting community and accept, you know, a happy ending, you know, this no trauma world. And it's nice. I think in a time like this year, 2020, we are all yearning for that escape, mm-hmm. for that 2 hours of happiness.
With Fran Dresser running about with commentary.
It'd be better.
Exactly.
Ben Lewis and Blake Lee star in Lifetime's The Christmas Setup, the network's first film centered on a gay romance, which is also set in Milwaukee. The film premieres on December 12th, and Lewis and Lee spoke with Audrey Nowakowski. And that is today's edition of the show.